couple of numbers. It does, I know you don't sell them, it does end a streak of 26 straight losses to ranked teams. The team, again, only gave up 7 points in the second half. The last four second halves, the defense has given up 17 points. I think they had 418 yards in the first half. I believe you guys held them to 129 in the second half. With that opening statement, we'll end the question.
What opening statement can you make? One of the things that I believe is that everyone wants and needs an occasion to rise to. And the greatest gift I can give anyone is that of extreme expectations, not just high expectations. And I expected this team to be able to do something remarkable in our first year. And there have been times where it didn't look like that might happen, but it has. And that doesn't happen without believing that they can. And they've worked really hard, and they've led, and they've battled, and they've hung together. And they've believed. And that has done, it's helped us all accomplish something pretty remarkable tonight that I'm lucky to be part of.
Where did you find yourself kind of in the middle of all of that? Did you get into the middle of it? How did that kind of play out when the field got stormed?
Yeah, I think we ought to just pause for a second. The field got stormed at the University of New Mexico. I don't know the last time that's happened, but I was in the middle. I shook hands with Jake, or their head coach, and then got wet, and then players were around me in a hug, and then I looked, there's more people, and then I made it out, and then I stood right here and just watched and just enjoyed it. And it was reminiscent to me. I don't like making comparisons. The fans at the University of Virginia rushed the field when we win six games to beat after we beat Georgia Tech to get postseason eligible in my second year there. This is more significant than that. And that was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen, where a community was so starved to have good football and to have a place to go for Christmas and play. And it's like, what are we, like, our football team is good. And this was better than that.
Who ended up breaking the rock tonight?
Devin Dampier. And so Frank always helps me as I come off the field, 174 passing yards and one TD, 193 rushing yards, three TDs, over 1,000 yards rushing on the year, and he breaks the school record for total offense. What a remarkable young person, and what a remarkable player. And yeah, man, am I glad that I get to be the head coach with him on our team.
Were there any adjustments made defensively at halftime, or was it just sucking it up, basically?
Yeah, I appreciate the terminology, because I didn't have to say it. Washington State is really explosive, and they're very dynamic, and they love playing from the lead. Meaning playing from the front. And my message to our team this week is, if we could weather the storm in the first couple of drives of the first half, that it would level out and we'll catch up to the speed, to the plays, to just what it is. And it played out just like that. We didn't make hardly any adjustments other than just that we kind of caught up to it. And they're fast and they're skilled and they have good plays. And the quarterback is hard to get on the ground, and he runs well, and I mean, it's everyone's seen all year. And then we substitute in Drew Speech at corner, and he just plays like crazy as we were having a hard time covering their receivers. And Skylar Cook is playing in the middle safety spot against Washington State, the top 20 team, and he's playing like crazy. And so, yeah, we caught up to it, and whoever we substituted in just played well. We played Malik, our backup center at nose tackle, because Bryce Santana's out. And you put it in context, it's just, like, remarkable. And so, in answer to your question, yeah, we just sucked it up. We caught up to him, and we just sucked it up, and whoever played really well.
There were no sacks, I don't think, but do you feel like between the rush and the covers that the quarterback is kind of
second half there was two unblocked players early in the game, and he scrambled right past both of them for, I don't even know if he scored or not, but we didn't have just one player spying on him. We had two and sometimes three. And he is an amazing player. And we had cut-ups made of that rushing three against him, and that doesn't work, and rushing four, and that doesn't work, and rushing five, and that's kind of worse. And six, yeah, you might get him down, or he might scramble for 70. And so Coach Howell did a really nice job, I think, more of just calling what was appropriate after we caught up and saw what it was. And it takes a minute to catch up to them. And they're a good football team. And so I forgot even what the question was. Yeah, we don't win without him. And when your quarterback can run the ball like that, that tough and that physical, with the deception also of having Eli Sanders and Nakari running the ball as well, gosh. Well, that's what winning and really good football teams do, right? They run when they need to, and you stop the run when you have to. And we were prepared for, from the very first team meeting, this game was presented as it will come down to the last drive. I don't know whether it'll be the offense that has the ball or the defense will be out there, but it will be a last drive game. And so I think our team prepared really well. I think our coaches prepared them really well for what kind of game it was going to be. And then the players just played, and they deserve all the credit. And as coaches, we just get to watch them do what they do, and it's really fun.
And then, I don't know, do you believe in statement wins? And if so, what statement does this make?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, I believe in statement wins. Number one, winning is hard. Winning at places that aren't used to winning is really hard. Beating top 20 teams is really hard. And doing it in game 12 is super hard, or game 11. The statement it makes is these kids are tough, and they're resilient, and they're capable, and they deserve to be supported and cheered for. And that's what happened tonight, is New Mexico fans rushed the field and maybe had a moment of a lifetime, maybe. And that kind of helps make sense of college football to me, of how it's worth it, is seeing stuff like that. And yeah, I think it should give people hope, and I think it should give them belief that you can do hard things.
And then, head coach, heading into this game with a ranked team, did you adjust the way that you mentally prepared yourself and your team?
Not so much my mental preparation, because I'm old, and I've seen these types of games before. But I did try to prepare my team. And their win last week at San Diego State was significant and hard and challenging, and they battled. And this was capitalizing on that. And they knew, and we've talked really bluntly, if they don't win, we're not postseason eligible. And they want to be. And they took charge at halftime before I even came in. Luke Weisong, Noah Avenger, they're Richard Pierce, they're already talking to the team. I didn't have to say a word. They already knew what was at stake and what they wanted to do. Not what I wanted to do, what they wanted to do. I just get to help them.
In terms of things leveling out with Mateer, like you've mentioned in the past, if things aren't going right, you're kind of talking a bit more on the sideline. When he was kind of putting up, you know, these insane throws and kind of, you know, really getting out of the pocket and all that, were you talking more, or were you just kind of letting it sit back?
No, what we were saying was is our matchups were tough on the outside. So they caught a pass on Noah Pola-Gates on an out and up, and they catch one on Bryson Taylor on a stop and go. Then we cut their tight end loose on about a 60-yard something on an assignment mistake. And then versus straight or all-out pressure, we give up another fade ball. And so really, we knew if we could just address that, right? Just not letting the giant plays go over our head with extra time for their quarterback on double moves, that we'd have a chance to make this thing balance out a little bit more. And so that's what we did.
It feels like I've asked you a variation of this question all year and all that, but Drew's
going to give me another chance to answer it.
Drew Speech was a guy you kind of heard a lot from in terms of other players talking about him and what he just brought to the table during fall camp. And obviously didn't play a huge role for a lot of the season in terms of on the field stuff, but how have you seen him develop to the point where, what, he had a forced fumble tonight?
Fumble, tackle for loss, yeah. A pass breakup.
How have you seen him kind of develop to that point?
Yeah, he's been working on our scout team, what we call our Mad Hatters, most of the year as he's learned football. So he's capable, he's fast, he's long, he has amazing ball skills, he's tough. But he's been learning our system, he's been learning college football, he's been learning the game of football. And we put him in tonight and he just changes the game. And if you would have asked me before the game if that was the storyline, that's probably not something I would have said.
Were you anticipating that Devin would carry it 28 times tonight and in the night?
As the season gets on, more and more volume is going to go through him. And that's what's having to happen for this program to become whatever you want to label it. Pretty cool.
And you mentioned Malik earlier, too. I mean, he played nose, but he ended up playing a lot of center. I think that was what Wallace went out, and then McKenzie got bumped out just through tackle and all that. What happened with Wallace?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that we beat Washington State tonight. That's what I know, and I'm happy for our team and our program. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Marco.
Dimitri.